Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I know, and certainly I've been a while since I've been here last. I think I was here last year. But we are still living in Calgary. For those perhaps who don't know me, my name is Daniel McKinley. I'm a missionary in Peru. And I was commended from a church here in Vancouver back in 96, so about 30 years ago. Went down to Peru as a young man of 26 years of age. Ended up getting married in Peru. My kids were born in Peru. And after, I guess, about 13, 14 years of living down there, we came back to Canada on furlough, and our commending church in Burnaby asked us to stay on for a time. And we had responsibilities in Peru, and so what ended up taking place was an agreement was made where I'd spend part of my time in Canada and part of my Peru, and that's kind of been our ministry now for, I guess, about, 15 years, something like that. But about 4 years ago, we moved to Calgary. So we're involved in a church in Calgary called Good News Bible Chapel, and we're still visiting Vancouver about once a month, and I still travel to Peru. In fact, Lord willing, I hope to go to Peru in the month of July. So if you could remember that in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. We are, looking to the Lord to open the door. But there certainly is lots of need in Peru. We need workers. I keep encouraging people to pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus asked us to pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the fields. That was his request. And so I keep encouraging God's people to make that prayer, because there is enormous need both here in Canada and abroad. Many people who need the Lord, but also God's people who need encouragement and pastoral work and building up. And so there is enormous need for Christian workers. And if you're a young man or a young woman who is looking up, to the Lord about your future, you might want to pray about that. I mean, obviously, it's God who does the calling, but to have that desire in your heart is a good thing. To want to serve the Lord and to be willing to be used of God wherever he would place you. You don't have to be young to do that. At any age, you can. But encourage you to have that vision for the work of God, because it is the most important work of all. People need the Lord. Not just, for eternity, not just when we leave this scene. We need the Lord here and now in our lives to be able to know God's presence, God's grace, God's help in our lives day by day, and to know his presence here this morning as we come together. It's not just for religious service. I trust that we have come here this morning because we have a desire to hear what God has to say to us, to open his word together and listen to his voice. And it's wonderful to have heard about the Lord, but it's far more precious to know the Lord and to know his presence here today and his grace in your life day by day. And so let's just look to the Lord again here this morning and ask his help once again as we open his word together. Father, we do want to thank you again for this day that you have given to us. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you, Father, for the beauty of this day, the sunshine that brought us here this morning. We thank you for this beautiful place to meet together. We thank you for each and every one here today. We realize, Father, that perhaps we come from different parts of the world, from Peru or other places, but you are the God who has gathered us together in this place. And Father, we are reminded that it's not by accident that we're here today, that you have brought us into this place because there's something that you desire to say to us. And we just pray that here this morning, our hearts, our minds would be open to hear your voice, that there would be that desire to learn of you here today. And so we just pray that you would bless our time together, that we'd be built up together. We pray, Father, that if there are any who have yet to come to understand the truth of the gospel, to know what it means to know Christ as Savior, we pray that here this morning they might come to know him. And for those of us who are believers, Father, we pray that we would grow and become that light in the world that you want us to be, a witness for Christ, not only in what we say, but in the lives that we live, showing forth your love and your grace to the world around us. And so, Father, again, we just thank you for bringing us together, and we just ask you to bless our time here today. But we ask these things, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it is a privilege to be with you here this morning, and I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to maybe look at a passage that is not a passage you might normally look at it on a Sunday morning. I'm sure you're probably familiar with this passage if you've been in Christian circles for very long, Luke chapter 18. But we're going to look at this passage because it's been on my heart and mind quite a bit for the last couple of months. The Lord has really been pressing this passage upon me, and so I felt burdened to look at this passage with you here today. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. Luke 18, 1. Then he, the Lord Jesus, spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Now there was a widow in that city. She came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's those closing words. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And those words have been ringing in my ears. They've been coming back again and again, like I mentioned over the last couple of months. You know, the Word of God has a way of searching our hearts, of examining the inner man and what we find there. The parable that we're looking at here this morning, the story that the Lord Jesus told, is a simple one. We have a woman who is in need, and she has no one else to turn to. And you shouldn't forget that. She is a woman who has an enormous amount of need, but she has no one else that she can turn to because she is a widow. She's alone. And this woman who has no one else to turn to comes to this judge in search of help. And she becomes the illustration that the Lord Jesus utilizes to teach us about persistent and consistent prayer, to persevere, to not give up in our prayers as we come to the Lord. You know, I have no doubt that many of us here this morning have found ourselves in similar circumstances, in moments in our life where we felt we had no one else that we could turn to, where we are in desperate need for a miracle in our life. Perhaps there's some of us even here this morning who are under pressing circumstances, who are here this morning in search of a miracle and wish and long to see God work in their lives and bring about what is that relieve them, take away that burden that weighs heavily upon them here today. Perhaps even as we're sitting in our bench, we're crying out to God in our hearts saying, Lord, I need a miracle. But I am certain that there are many people here today who have been in certain circumstances in their lives who have felt that the only person who would be able to help them was the Lord. It was no one else. And I want to tell you, you know, if you've come here this morning because there is some enormous burden or need in your life, you have come to the right place. Not because Not the church. I'm not referring to that. You've come to the right place, like this building. That's not what I'm referring to. But rather, you come to the one who invites us and encourages us to look to him. That's the wonderful thing about this particular passage. That as Christians, we preach a God who is not distant or indifferent, but we preach about a God who invites us into a relationship with himself. And the Lord Jesus here is encouraging us to cry out to God because there is a God who hears our prayers and a God who is aware of the needs in our lives. A God who knows every detail of every one of our lives here today. He knows the tears we've cried, and he knows what has brought us to this building here this morning. And the wonderful thing is this. Not only do we read about prayer and that there is a God who hears us, and what the Lord is saying here, a God who answers those prayers. And no, he says right here that the Lord will do, that God will speedily respond. Not only do we have a God who hears and a God who answers prayer, but here the Lord encourages us to persevere in prayer because God knows our hearts. And he knows the weakness in our lives, the doubts that creep in. He knows how we're prone to give up, to become discouraged. And so the wonderful thing is, in this passage, we have a God who encourages us. He's not just telling us we can pray, but he's encouraging us to persevere in prayer and not to give up. But you know something? We can persevere in prayer and yet pray without expecting a response from God. It's a troubling situation in which we can find ourselves as human beings. Now, we can feel that it's our duty to pray for others, to be here perhaps during a prayer meeting, a midweek prayer meeting. Perhaps in our home, we're aware of the needs of different people. Perhaps we have a loved one or a friend who's in the hospital and we go there and we pray with them. We come home and we pray. And so in a sense, we persevere in prayer. We continue in prayer. But the problem is we don't expect God to answer those prayers. It becomes a duty, something that we continue in without any faith. Without any real belief that it's going to make any difference whatsoever. To pray without faith is an enormous problem. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Who are we today? Where do we find ourselves in our life, in our Christian walk? Are we a people who are curious about who God is and who Christ is? We've heard stories. We've heard about how Jesus died for sin. We're curious. We want to know a little bit more about the Christian faith, but we've never begun a walk with Christ. We don't know that intimacy, that being able to just open our hearts up to God and know that he hears and answers. Or perhaps we're people who have made a profession of faith and been Christians for many, many years. And we've continued on in our Christian life. But where do we find ourselves in our Christian walk this morning? A people who believe in a God of wonders. A God who can accomplish great things. A God who answers our prayers. Or are we just simply continuing with what we believe is the right thing to do as Christians? But that spark of faith has faded away. You know, faith is an interesting thing. It surrounds us everywhere. We make plans for the future because we believe that, you know, certain events are going to take place in our future. Perhaps we make plans for our retirement. We act in faith. We think, you know, I'm going to put this money away because I believe someday I'm going to need it. And if we didn't have that kind of belief in our hearts, we wouldn't bother saving the money. Who's going to save the money for somebody else to spend? But we save it because we think, I'm going to need this in the future. You know, we go to doctors and we believe that the doctor is diagnosing our illness. And therefore, we follow the treatment that he instructs us to follow, the medication or whatever. He tells us we believe that he's giving us the right solution for the problem that we have. That he's giving us good advice. The doctor, he believes in the science behind his field and he prescribes medication and other treatments based on what he's learned. He thinks the science is right and that this is the best course for your life, for your best way of resolving the problem you have. Within a few hours, I'm going to be traveling to Calgary. We climb on board airplanes. We trust the mechanics who maintain those planes. We trust the pilots who fly them. We trust the air traffic controllers who control the airport. The pilot has made endless, countless hours of flight, and he trusts the instruments. He's up there in the middle of nowhere in the clouds, but he believes that the instruments are guiding him in the right direction. And after 4 or 5 hours, he's going to end up in the place where he planned to be, and the airport's going to be there. He believes, he trusts those instruments. He acts in faith. We utilize faith all the time. All the time in our lives. You know, we listen to friends tell us stories. We believe they're telling us the truth. We believe their accounts that they give to us. Sometimes we might doubt some people. But for the most part, if they're our friends, we believe they're telling us the truth. We oftentimes hear about places in the world we've never been to. But we believe that people are telling us the truth about those places. Faith is something that we exercise every single day of our lives. Of course, when we look at the Bible, we're talking about religious faith. And somehow we see that a little bit differently. And we'll readily trust in our politicians or our doctors or other men or our employers. We'll readily trust our friends. But we seem to have enormous trouble when it comes to trusting God. Something that mankind has wrestled with right from the beginning. We have trouble. We struggle to trust God. The Apostle Peter tells us that the genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold. You know, if you have faith this morning in God, it is a gift to be treasured in your life, to be protected. Because not everybody has that faith. There are many people who aren't willing to trust in God this morning. But if you have that faith, we should be thankful and treasure it. Because as the Apostle Peter says, it is more precious than gold. For one thing, of course, we cannot know God and his salvation without faith. It is essential for us to be able to enter into a relationship with God. Without faith, we read, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if you had the faith to move mountains, but you have not love, you are nothing. And so we put love way up on our list. But did you ever think of what the writer of Hebrews tells us? Without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God. I don't care how much you love others or how much you give to others. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, no matter how good you are or how much you try to help other people. Faith is essential this morning if you want to have a relationship with God. Not because God needs our faith, but because it is impossible for us to come to God and to seek His grace and help in our life without faith. That's what the verse is teaching us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God because he who comes to him must believe that he is. You can't come to someone who you don't believe in. And you cannot trust in him to provide salvation for you, to bless you, to work in your life, if you don't believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Who is God to you this morning? To have faith in God is what a wonderful thing. It opens incredible doors to our lives. To know that I can look to the God of heaven and find help in my hour of need. To know someone who can work miracles when I need a miracle in my life. And to be able to trust in him. That's a privilege. There's lots of people in the world who don't enjoy that, who don't know that. Faith is a blessed thing. I believe that it is impossible to know true love without faith. Because the only true love that exists is found in God, who so loved the world, he gave His only begotten Son. It is that one love that will never let you down, never grow cold, never become distant, never turn against you, never forsake you. Oh, lots of people in this world will forsake us. You've probably experienced it. Friends, even relatives can disappoint us or abandon us or forsake us or turn against us. But there is one whose love endures forever. His love never fails. And it never grows cold. And it doesn't go up and down with the days and the seasons and how well the person's life is going. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can never know his love except for faith. Is that door through which we must enter to know him. Again, when the apostle or the writer of Hebrews talks about that it's impossible to please God without faith, it's not because God needs that faith. That's a mistake. God doesn't need anything. He transcends creation. He is over all things and perfectly complete and content in who he is. But because he is a God who is loving, a God who is perfect, he has chosen to lavish that love and goodness upon all that his hands have made. And even though the world has forsaken him and turned against him and we have let him down time and time and time again in our lives, he doesn't give up. And we are here this morning because he cares about each of us. And he speaks to us through his word, calls out to us, to see if there's any who will hear his voice. Invites us to come into a relationship with himself. And so if we have faith, if we have that gift in our lives, it's something to be deeply grateful for. And if you do not have faith, how are we going to find it? Well, the scriptures tell us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter tells us that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word. If we want to know that faith that can bring us into a relationship with God, we need to spend time in His Word. There's a young man in Calgary. He's studying to get his master's in the saxophone. He's playing classical saxophone. I don't know if you've ever even knew that existed. We all think of maybe the sax as being jazz or something, but no. He's getting his master's in classical sax. And he came out to our Christmas choir last year. He's not a believer. But he came out to our Christian choir, and he went home, and for the first time in his life, he decided to begin to read the Bible. I said, you know, you don't know the Lord yet, but you started in the right place. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we want faith in our lives, or we want to grow in faith, where are we going to find that? Only if we spend time in God's Word. How much time do you spend in God's Word? Because God's Word is food for the soul. And we are called upon to feed upon it every day of our lives because it is more important than the food for our physical bodies. And I'm not saying that food for your physical body is not important. I hope that every one of us is eating a healthy diet. But I'll say one thing. We need, above all else, a work of God's grace in our life. And to experience more of Him. And you know, when we think about our Christian life, faith is essential. It's not just about coming to know God and salvation. That's a problem because we oftentimes think about salvation only in those terms. You know, as the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say, you know, give to the church, tithe, I don't know, fast for 6 weeks. Go to theological school. No, it simply says this, believe on the Lord Jesus. But remember what I said before, you can't exercise faith in one who you don't believe exists, and you can't turn to Him if you don't believe that He doesn't love you and died for you. As Christians, we oftentimes stop and we think, well, you know, I'm saved. I made a profession of faith. Now I've got faith. You know, faith is vital for the Christian life and the Christian walk. Have you ever thought about that? We're talking about prayer. What good is prayer if you don't believe in a God who answers those prayers? When we think about other aspects of the Christian life, no, we're called upon to love others, people that are ungrateful, people that are undeserving. We're called to do difficult things in the Christian life. How can we make those choices in our life to be obedient to the Word of God if we don't believe that what God teaches in His Word is true and is going to lead us into a better state, into a better person? That it's going to give us that path in life that will lead us to real purpose, blessing, joy. If we don't trust God's Word, how are we going to obey it when God calls us to do difficult things? And God will. We're called to make great sacrifices, to show the love of God to people around us. And how great is God's love? To make sacrifices in our time, our resources, valuable things to us. God calls us to do that. Why would I do it? Unless I believed that there was a blessing in doing so, and that in doing so, I'd be pleasing God. God calls on us as Christians what? To deny self. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, then we're talking about that personal walk with Christ. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He didn't say that for one select kind of group of people. Oh, that's for those who are maybe pastors or missionaries or those who are in leadership in the church. No, he said, if anyone, is there any desire to follow Christ in your heart here this morning? What did Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Because everybody in this world is pursuing their own dreams and ambitions. It's all about me. That is what the flesh is about. The flesh is about what I want to do with my life, the places I want to go, the things I want to become, the people I care about, the kinds of clothes I wear, my security for the future, my comfort. I don't want to suffer any hardship. That's the flesh. But God calls on us to follow the example of Christ and to be willing to sacrifice our own comfort for the sake of others. How can we do that if we don't really believe? You know, the disciples understood that. It's very interesting. Luke uses the word faith more than any of the gospel writers. John never uses it. What John talks about is believing, the verb, the act of putting our faith in someone or something. But that word faith appears more in the Gospel of Luke than any other gospel writers. And only the chapter before this, very interesting, chapter 17. In fact, you try to look at how many times faith comes up just in these next few chapters. Very interesting study. But in the chapter before this, the disciples say a very interesting prayer. And I wonder how many of us have said it. They say this to the Lord Jesus, Lord, increase my faith. They knew it was hard to follow Christ, and they would do so under enormous difficulty. Every single one of the apostles, except for John, were martyred for their faith, suffered for Christ. But they prayed and said, Lord, they knew the value of faith. They said, Lord, increase. They weren't content to have a little bit. They wanted to be men, they wanted to be women whose confidence rested in the living God and knew what it was to walk with Him. Lord, increase our faith. I wonder if in our Christian life there hasn't come a point where we need to do a faith check and see where our faith does stand in our walk with Christ. What do we trust in? And we think about our future, how we're going to eat and live. Are we a people whose confidence rests in our earnings, our bank accounts, government policies, our retirement pension plans, our insurance policies? There's nothing wrong with having those things. The difficulty is when those replace God in our life and they become the basis of our certainty for the future. We think we're okay because we're trusting in material things and the things of this world. That's where our confidence lies, rather than resting in God's faithfulness and in God's care. I don't think many of us today pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught, give us this day our daily bread, because we don't really feel the need. We think, you know, I've got a fridge full of food and I'm okay for next week. We don't really see a need for God to provide that. I was in Peru in 2007 and there was a massive earthquake. Nobody knew it was coming. In 2 minutes' time, 300,000 people lost their homes. 2 minutes. Do you know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow? To have that intimacy with God, when the things that we cannot control come in and disturb our plans and our lives, is a blessed place to find ourselves. I went to a memorial service yesterday for one of the elders at 10th Avenue Bible Chapel. He had passed away recently. His last words were to me in the hospital. He couldn't speak very well. He was suffering from dementia. He was in very poor shape. But his last words to me were, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, that psalm goes on to say, "And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me." do we have that kind of resting place and that certainty and security in Christ? I want to ask you this morning, I don't know, maybe you don't know the story of Abraham, but do you think that Abraham could have left the land of Ur and traveled to the land that God was going to give him, if he didn't believe in a God who would guide him and watch over him? Faith is essential if we want to be able to step out and begin to live a life for the Lord. To be willing to serve God requires faith. Can God really use me? Can I be made a blessing? God has called every single one of his children, all those who have made a profession, all those who are born again, who belong to him, have been called to be servants. That through us, through our lives, not just through our words or a tract we give out, not that there's anything wrong with giving a tract, but not just through our words, but that through us the world might know who God is. God is working in the world today. Did you know that missions is one of the clearest proofs in the world today that our God is a God who so loved the world? Because our God has sent his people to every corner of this world and no one's been forgotten. His word, translated into more languages than any book in the entire history of this world. Because there is a God who wants to speak to all men and wants all of us to come to know him. But what troubles me about this passage is that the Lord Jesus asks a very disturbing question here that is directed to us here today in this 21st century. You think the Bible was just written for people in the first century? Jesus says this: will he find faith when the Son of Man comes? We are in the last days. Anybody who knows the Bible can see the signs, the testament, evidence. Christ is coming. The Bible says that there are people who will mock that, who will laugh, just as they did in the days of Noah. But for those who believe the word of God, who can see the remarkable evidence, because the Bible is not blind faith. Our faith is a faith that rests in evidence, in proof. It's a rational faith. There are remarkable events taking place in the world that point to the coming of Christ. One of the most remarkable things is what's taking place in the Middle East today. It's not the only one, but it's one of them. 1948, a people who had been dispersed throughout the entire world became a nation once again. Never happened in the world before. All in preparation for the coming of Christ. God had predicted it thousands of years ago. For 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. None. What happened? How could a people who had been dispersed and had no nation for 2,000 years suddenly become a nation in the midst of all their enemies? And have the influence that they have today in the world. Little tiny nation. But it speaks powerfully of the fulfillment of Scripture. Our God has given us signs so that we can see what's taking place in the world and that we can know that his coming is approaching. We're not caught off guard. You know something? He asks us this disturbing question. For us who are here today, who are very likely the people who will be around when Christ appears, I firmly believe it could be this very, in fact, it could be today. And I don't know if you're ready, if he did come today, but it could be The Bible ends with that prayer where the Lord Jesus says, "Lo, I come quickly." And the writer of the book of Revelation ends by saying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He could, but he asks us this question: will he find faith? Those are not empty. The Lord doesn't say things for nothing. He does so so that his word can search our hearts, stir us up, so we can examine our lives and ask ourselves about our walk with Christ. You know, it's important to understand faith properly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for. In the King James, it says that. I believe that's a very unfortunate translation, that particular passage. Because faith itself is not some kind of energy, some kind of force or magical power out there that accomplishes things. Faith is what allows us to put our trust in others, to allow them to work. It's not our faith that could, for example, move mountains. It's God who moves mountains. But faith enables us to look to God when we need a mountain moved, but God doesn't move it. Same with salvation. People sometimes are shocked when I say to them, faith does not save. I don't know why they're shocked. It's God who saves. It's Christ who saves. Ephesians chapter 2 does not say, by faith you are saved through grace. Lots of people have faith and they're lost. They trust in all the wrong places. They have faith, though. They could be trusting in other gods and saints and apostles, in leaders of churches, in religions, in their baptism, faith in many things. They're lost. They have faith. Faith doesn't save. Christ saves. We can come to Christ through faith. It's what enables us to look to him. It is impossible to please God without faith, because to come to him, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's good. He blesses us. He will fulfill his word. The Lord Jesus says this: come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And here's his promise: I will give you rest. Have you ever come to him? How could you come to him except through faith? To cry out to him this morning from wherever you find yourself in your life and say, Lord, I've heard what you said. And I know I need you in my life. Hear my cry. I need to be saved. To know that I need Christ is step one. To come to Christ is step two. Lots of people realize they need a Savior. And there is one. Jesus said, I am the way. Can't go anywhere else. Again, it's not the church. Jesus said, I am. To know him, to cry out to him, to begin a walk with him. You know, we can think about an illustration. The pilot. Years he's flown trusting his instruments. Always landed in the city of Toronto. One day, he crashes. Because the instrument he rested on and trusted in for many, many years was malfunctioning. Did he have faith in his instrument? He did. But that instrument wasn't functioning properly, and it took him to the wrong. In fact, that happened in Peru, by the way. Aero Peru, an old airline in Peru, the aircraft took off from the airport in Lima, and suddenly the pilot realized it was a problem. Something wasn't right. He couldn't figure it out. He was trying to control the airplane and he drove it straight into the ocean. Because the altimeter on that aircraft, someone had forgotten to take the cover off. And it was telling him he was at the wrong altitude. And he's looking at his instrument, it's saying one thing, and it was nighttime, right into the ocean. Everybody died. You can go to a doctor. The doctor might tell you, take this and you'll get better, and you die. The problem is the doctor misdiagnosed your disease. You had faith. Problem is the faith was resting in the wrong place. Because again, faith in itself does not save. Faith in itself is not an energy. We're not here in Star Wars where we have, you know, the force out there and you just got to tune in and gain this energy. There's some people think if I have enough faith, I can get anything. And, you know, God is going to do whatever I ask if I have enough faith. You can't manipulate God and force God to do what you want him to do. That's not what the Bible teaches when it talks about trusting in God. Years ago, there was a man up in the Andes where I was working. He had ulcers in his stomach, and the doctor told him, you need surgery right now. I was going to a church, a Pentecostal church up there, and the pastor said, no, he said, you trust in God, and he will heal you. A week later, he died. Bled to death. When the pastor went to the man's funeral, the pastor got up and said to everybody, this man died because he lacked faith. It wasn't because he lacked faith. The problem was, is that man put his faith in the wrong place. He listened to the words of someone who he should never have listened to. God has called us to place our faith and trust in the one who will not fail. But where does our faith rest today? And are we a people who are willing to attempt great things because we believe in a God who is able to work miracles in our lives and through our lives? You know, when we think about these words that are here before us this morning, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? We look at a world around us where there are over 2 billion people in the world today who profess to be Christians. But how many of them are really trusting in Christ? They may belong to great churches. They may have been baptized. They may come out to the services. But how many are truly trusting and walking with him each and every day? I believe that we're in the last days. And I believe that more than ever, we need a work of God in our lives. But I think that one of the greatest challenges that we face as Christians today is that of having that faith that will enable us to step out and live a remarkable life for God. And these words have been troubling to me because I search my own heart. So I pray about needs in Peru and Calgary and different places. And I ask myself, am I a person who believes that God answers prayer? We can persist in prayer, but do we persist in believing prayer? And are we a people who are willing to cast ourselves upon God if he asks us to do it? I hope that each one of us here this morning have come to know Christ personally through faith, not just heard about what he's done. I came to know the Lord Jesus when I was 7 years of age. Little boy, didn't know very much, never been to any kind of Bible school or anything, but I heard the words in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, doesn't matter who we are this morning, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Well, I didn't know very many things, but I knew I needed Jesus in my heart. And 7 years of age, I got down on my knees and said, Lord, come into my heart. I need to be saved. I haven't lived a perfect life, but I can tell you one thing, that in all the ups and downs of my life, there is one who has always been faithful. He's the one who has kept. The one who has kept me. And I trust here this morning that each one of us have that same saving faith, that we have received Christ as our Savior, and as believers, that our faith is growing, and that we are this day a people who are resting in the faithfulness of our God, in his presence, in his power, Because God is here. The Apostle Paul says he is not far from any of us. If only look to him through faith. Shall we pray? Father, again this morning, we just want to thank you that we can come into your presence. We thank you, Father, for each one that's here this morning. You know our struggles, the challenges that we face. But Father, we pray that we might truly come to that place where we can rest fully in thyself, that we can come to know Christ and have that assurance of salvation through faith in him, that we can say, as Daniel Matthew said, the Lord is my shepherd. But Father, we know your presence in our life day by day, and we pray that our lives would be directed and guided by thee. We pray, Father, that indeed our faith would grow. Increase our faith. May we walk ever near to thyself, and Father, may we be passionate in our prayers, because we believe that you are a God who answers prayer, a God who does wonders. And Father, many of us here this morning are in need of a miracle. And so we just pray again that you would bless your word to our hearts and encourage us as we think upon those words. In the last day, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We ask these things, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.